Staining It Live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Hola.
Rita.
I really liked that music.
Oh, wasn't it jive as hell? That was Takashi's Cashew with Akihi, the album name, the title track of the album. There you go. Just kind of had that little pan flute thing going on in there, and it kind of made me think about all the little pan flute bands around the world probably aren't doing a good trade at the moment.
Yeah, the only time I've cried in this whole time was when they shut the border, just thinking about all those people that I might not meet, those people that play pan flute out there, you know?
Right on, right to the on. Hey, what's on the agenda today in the realm of sustainable
life? I'm sorry to come off such exciting, awesome music with a topic on Resource Management Act.
It's okay, we've got other music we can turn up underneath.
Okay.
Yeah, what is what the hell?
Or something?
Just can you start at the beginning, because I'm a massive silly dum-dum and I like...
No, but that's exactly what I wanted to do, because I think people like me throw around the term like RMA, Resource Management Act and resource consent, like everyone knows what it means.
That's actually one of my least favourite things with like acronyms, is the way people just sort of chuck them around assuming everyone knows what they mean. It's kind of like a little bit rude sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think the Resource Management Act, that one of the reasons people throw it around like that is because it is actually quite complex, and if somebody doesn't really know what it is, it's like quite a big drama to tell them.
So
why I'm here today. Yeah. I'm hoping to kind of shed some light on it, because it sounds boring, but it's actually really interesting, and the history of it is really fascinating. So I'll crack into it. The RMA, or the Resource Management Act, was enacted in 1991, but it was sort of 10 or 15 years in the making, so it was quite a big act, relatively well researched and commented on, and there were lots of committees and people feeding into it, so it was very well thought out piece of legislation.
Okay.
And basically the job of it is it's a principal legislation that regulates how we use and manage our natural resources. So so it's quite complicated, because actually what it was before it came about, there were over 60 or 59 different pieces of legislation plus a whole lot of policies, and they tried to like roll them all into one. And the idea at the time, it was the national government, they were saying, you know, all these sort of 59 different pieces of legislation are really complicated for people to navigate if they're trying to get something done. So for example, if you wanted to take some water from your local stream, or you had like a groundwater, like a bore on your land that you wanted to tap into and use that water, there was multiple different, you have to go to the council and talk to them about meeting multiple different pieces of legislation.
It makes me think about the companies that rip all the water out of the springs that they've got in New Zealand and then just bottle it up and send it away. Is that?
Yeah, so they have applied for a resource consent under the Resource Management Act.
Mm.
So basically every district in the country has a set of sort of guidelines that says what you can and can't do without resource management. So for example, most places say, if not all districts in New Zealand, say that you can't take water from either a river or the ground without a resource consent, whereas some places might say, okay, you can build a house without resource consent on these types of land, but if you wanted to build one on, let's just say, you know, really, really steep land, for example, I think that's a class 5 land or something like that, then you need resource consent.
Okay.
So it kind of guides most things from what you can do on land, whether it's for residential use, or whether you can... from, say, moving into a beautiful rural landscape where you wanted to get away and have a quiet life, and stop someone from just dropping, say, like a gun club right next door to you, or an abattoir next to you or something. So that kind of thing. And even protects you in the urban environment. You're in a suburb from somebody setting up a, mechanic right next door to you. So, for example, some land might be classed as commercial, and in that case, it can do that, But if it's residential, they can't, and they'd have to apply for a resource consent under the Resource Management Act. Does that sort of make sense?
I guess so. It sounds like there's procedures in place, and this is good.
Yeah.
Are we drifting into a zone where there's some things that it doesn't cover, or what? Are you happy with?
Yeah, so the complication here is that when you have something that sort of pulls together 59 different pieces of legislation, it's always going to be complicated.
Right.
And when they put it together, one of the founding principles of it, to me, the RMA is actually one of the very few pieces of legislation that actually makes up what I would consider to be a bit of a constitution for New Zealand. So if we had, like America does, a constitution, like, you know, these are the things that doesn't change about, you know...
Our core beliefs.
Yep. The RMA, or the principles behind the RMA, is one of those driving factors. And it kind of taps into the treaty.
Does the RMA respect iwi and stuff like that? Is it all...
It could definitely do better. It says that there needs to be consultation with tangata whenua and also with the public in general. So if you decided that you wanted to have a gun club in the middle of a rural environment...
I wish you'd stop telling people about my gun club that I want to start up.
They may say to you, okay, cool, you want to apply for this reason, consent, that's fine, but you need to go and talk to the neighbours and you need to talk to the tangata whenua.
I seem to remember something about a poltry farm on the news that was trying to get started up somewhere, and people were like, fuck that, it's gross. It was like a caged hen farm. It's like a
you wouldn't be able to, as a public consultant, see, if you said it's gross,
yeah.
In the committee hearings, so they have hearings and they let people come in and they say, why don't you want the poultry farm? And they might say, I just disagree with caging up animals. They'd probably go, oh, okay, but then if they're like, it's smelly, and then it's like, okay, well, that's
quality of life.
So those things are weighed up. Okay. The founding principle behind the RMA is that things need to be sustainable. So, and this is, my thing, right? I love the idea of sustainability. I don't think it's really done anywhere very well. And the fact that it's written into the RMA, and there was so many experts and so many the opposition even against having it in there, yet it made it through all this kind of rigmarole, and it's still a founding concept behind the Resource Management Act. So, okay, sure, if you want to put... if you want to take water, that's fine, but as long as it's sustainable.
But some people believe that we should get rid of the RMA.
Yes, well, this is the thing right now. So the problem is,
I don't know what it even is.
I thought Big Hungry was trying to abolish it.
Freedom, more, well, less government, more freedom.
Can we do better? Can we do better than the RMA, Rita? Let's be honest.
The RMA has actually really failed to live up to that sustainability mantra that sits in there. And the main reason for that is because it's been quite, and we've talked about it a little bit in the past, it's kind of a flounce. It's kind of like a little bit wishy-washy to some people, that concept. And so they've just gone, you need to incorporate sustainable thinking in all your planning. And that's what they've said to the central government piece of legislation saying that, and then the district councils can then apply that how they want. So what we've seen in the past, some councils requiring resource consent for, say, turning a piece of land into intensive dairy, whereas other regions haven't.
So the penny hasn't dropped all around yet for people, really.
Judith Collins has come out recently saying that she wants to completely repeal the RMA and start again from scratch with something better.
I think it's pronounced Judith. Like that. I think you're saying it wrong, but yeah.
Yeah.
Is this a great idea?
Judith.
No, I think, there's been lots of amendments over the years to RMA, some good, some bad.
Amendments, it does sound like that American thing now, if you say that.
What?
Amendments. When they talk about...
Amendments, yeah. So we've had these amendments. Some are really good, some are really bad, like the blanket tree one, everyone knows.
I was wondering if it comes down to that, like people just moving in and going, I don't like that tree anymore, get out.
Yeah. So that used to, under the RMA, you used to have to get consent for trees over a certain height to be cut down.
Right.
The amendment to the RMA that was put through by the last national government said there's no, you cannot have that sort of blanket protection across the country for trees. That it has to be individual trees are protected versus all of them.
Yeah.
So that's why we lost this kind of through protection. So there's some good amendments that have happened. There's some bad amendments. And regardless of all that, what we do have is 30 years of precedent. So we have a ton of like cases that have gone to court and been tried, and so we know what in a lot of cases can and can't be done. And at the end of the day, we've still got this core principle in the RMA, which is sustainable management. A resource in New Zealand needs to be used sustainably or not at all. And I think the reason that Judith Collins wants to completely abolish the RMA is that she wants to get rid of that sustainability clause, because otherwise she'd just be seeking to amend things.
That's not a good
100%. Like, you can, and to the
she hasn't given a reason why. We can only speculate, can't we?
Well, yes, that's true. And I mean, the argument is that it is taking a long time to get things through the RMA. But the problem is that if you've got a complex resource consent. If you put in a resource consent that's quite complex, it's not something that one planner who's got a year's worth of experience can sit there and just sign off. Like, it needs to go to public consultations. Iwi needs to be consulted. You know, you might need the engineer's report. The engineer might need to go to a, like, geotech, you know. Like, so there's all these people that need to be involved in a complex thing. You can't just go, oh, we need to fast-track it, like, because... the economy, you know,
it's like kinda, it sort of sits in that measure twice, cut once territory for me.
100%. I mean,
it takes a lot longer to fix the fuck ups than it does to prevent them, you know.
100%, you know. And we've got things like a really good example would be in the 70s, you know, we had a really similar situation to what we've got now, where we needed to build some infrastructure, we needed to create jobs.
Was it Howick? Did they build Howick?
Howick?
No, I was just wondering if you have nothing. Carry on. Yeah. Sorry.
The development of Howick was this is Think Big, and part of that was some of the hydro dams that they created in the central North Island, which now power us. Now they would never have happened as quickly as they did under the if we had the RMA around in those days, and possibly they may not have even happened at all, because they, you know, dammed, they blocked a whole lot of really important rivers around the country. So you know, you've got right now what we've got is a time where we're wanting to build this great infrastructure. And arguably, you know, you look back and you go, those hydro dams are really helpful to us, because they've given us really great, relatively renewable energy for very little input. But there's lots of stuff that came out of that Think Big, which was a big mistake. So I guess my point being that if something needs resource consent because we're using a resource in New Zealand, fast-tracking it isn't necessarily a good thing. You know, we do need to take our time. We do need to think about these things properly, or else we could just be creating environmental disasters that cost a lot of money to clean up.
Right. So really, it's more a case of planning to allow for that time for the RMA to do its job.
Yeah, absolutely. And none of this legislation is a surprise. So if you are wanting to, you know, build something that needs resource consent, then you should already have it in mind what can and can't be done.
Right.
And I think that that's where, you know, that's where some of these, what I would think nefarious changes would be. So, you know, one example is they wanted to do a bottling water plant where they were putting a pipeline through a national park down in the South Island to get the water straight to a ship and out of here. So they weren't even going to bottle it in New Zealand, you know. So... and they were trying to fast-track that and circumvent the RMA and whatnot. I mean, that's a terrible idea. It didn't create jobs. It didn't, you know, all it literally did was take a resource unsustainably with very little benefit to New Zealand. Things like that need to go through an RMA and need to be considered carefully and slowly.
Fair enough, Rita. Hey, I'll leave you with this lovely little text we've got. Rita is right and awesome.
Oh.
There you go. We'll catch you next Monday. Thank you, Rita.
Have a good week. See you guys.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.